The supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the best of the names, In the Name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salaamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special on IRIB English Radio. As I told you, this is today's special, and the topic for this episode is father-daughter relations.
You are a miracle. You are a blessing from above. Brought joy to my soul and pleasure to my eyes. In my heart I can feel it, an unexplainable feeling. Being a father, the best thing that I could ever ask for. Just thinking of you makes me smile. Holding you, looking in your eyes, I'm so grateful for having. I pray that you'll find your way. You know I love you. I love you, my little girl.
Today, Monday, is the 28th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of the month of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of May, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special by recitation of a special chapter of the Holy Quran, chapter Al-Kawthar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar.
Indeed, we have granted you, O Muhammad, al-kawthar.
Fasalli li rabbika wanhar.
So pray to your Lord and sacrifice to Him alone.
Inna shani'aka huwal abtar.
Indeed, your enemy is the one cut off.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Occasion of revelation. Asa ibn Wa'il, who was one of the chiefs of the pagans, met the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny. He spoke with him for a while. In the meantime, a group of men were sitting in the mosque when Asa ibn Wa'il entered the mosque. They asked him, "To whom were you speaking?" He answered, "With this Abtar one." He used this word for the Prophet to taunt him, because he had two sons born of Lady Khadija who died in Mecca, and so there was no live male issue from the Prophet. Now, what is the meaning of Abtar? Abtar means the animal whose tail is cut off. To console the Holy Prophet, this surah was revealed with the glad tidings of the greatest amount of the highest degree of the grace of Allah bestowed on him. The topic of this episode of today is a special from IRIB English Radio is father-daughter relation. Fathers can make such a difference in their daughters' lives, but often girls are overlooked as father develops special bonds with their sons. Fathers are the first male that the girl knows, and the relationship with him sets the tone for all male-female relationships she will have in the future. Fathers are role models for their daughters. If you were raised in an atmosphere where the roles for men and women were different, some of those stereotypes will strive to prevail. It can be difficult to break free from old habits and social norms, even when you know it's the best thing for your child. It is hard work, but it is entirely possible. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about relations between fathers and their daughters. This is, of course, a duty of fathers to know how to treat their wives and how to treat their daughters. From a psychological point of view, we find that, daughters want to discuss very minute and detailed issues, in contrast to boys and sons, who who are like very much like men, who talk about, very important issues and very, critical, for example, topics like politics, economics, or, for example, relations between countries and so on. In contrast to boys and sons, we find that girls and daughters are usually concerned with very delicate and very minor issues, like, for example, apparent beauty, or, for example, clothes, or, for example, type of lifestyle, or, for example, shoes and so on. Or, for example, how to decorate, one's own room or home and so on. Fortunately, in the Iranian calendar, the birth anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Masum Salamullah Alayha has been named as the Day of Girls, or Girls' Day. At the same time, we find that on such a day, the practice of many families where fathers give some gifts to their own daughters, we find that in such condition, this is a reminder for men to respect their own families.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
This part is for fathers. What do you need to know about raising daughters? A daughter needs her father to be actively interested in her life. Actively interested does not refer to the second long conversation that sometimes happens between a father and daughter when he asks how her day went and she replies with one word. A father should participate in his daughter's hobbies and activities by displaying interest. For example, if she is interested in collecting coins, take her to coin shows. Use the internet to learn about rare coins and talk about them. Is your daughter talented in any sport, such as volleyball? Whether she wants to play or just enjoys watching the games, become an enthusiastic fan and supporter. Show your daughter that you are interested in her life by learning more about it and trying to become a part of it.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا رب.
This part to all the daughters, listen carefully. A father helps define your future relationship. A woman's relationship with her father and her father's relationship with her mother shapes her expectations for a future positive relationship with her husband. A woman's choice of a husband consciously and unconsciously depends on her father. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "Daughters are blessings and sons are graces. You will be rewarded for the blessings and ask about the graces."
Today, like if we see most women that become successful in politics, like presidents or prime ministers, they're probably, most of the time, read in a study, that they were the only child. They never had brothers, so the father showed them all the affection and gave her all the strength she needs. So she reached that position of becoming a president or a prime minister. Female athletes that become, you know, world known, they didn't have brothers, and their fathers gave all they could to their daughters. You know, as we saw in the Olympics, one gymnast, a female gymnast, could earn, you know, over 15 medals, more than what men are earning in the Olympics. And that's because of the support her father gave her. As fathers, the main your mission should be that your daughter's first love shouldn't be someone else. Your daughter's first love shouldn't be Justin Bieber. Your daughter's first love shouldn't be, you know, I don't know who. Your daughter's first love should be you as her father.
Yeah.
You should be that strength that she needs, that shadow that she needs, that protection that she earns for. You have to be her first love and her absolute love. Even when she gets married, because of the love and affection you showed her, your love should stay superior.
Definitely.
Because no one will take care of your daughter better than you.
Yeah.
No man will treat your daughter better than you as a father. Mm-hmm. So if you mistreat your daughter, she'll be mistreated. If you don't show her love, the first person that comes in, you know, says something nice to her, she's gonna grab onto that and think that's love.
That was interesting topic, the topic of father-daughter relationship. So, inshallah, we continue that. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you under Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? Told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer, I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends. How about listening to some bezels of wisdom from the Holy Prophet's sixth infallible heir, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him. No one should be regarded as trustful before he keeps three things: funds, secrets, and honors. He who keeps two and betrays a third is not trustful.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam regarding choosing good names for one's children. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was once asked with regarding to naming one's children after the Imams alayhi salam, and whether there was any benefit in doing so, to which he replied, "Of course, by Allah and his religion, anything but love." Right? Meaning, if you love, the Imams, obviously you're going to name your children after them. Right? And this is a part of religion. This is a part of religion. Then the Imam alayhi salam quotes a very famous verse of the Holy Quran regarding this, in line with this, in which Allah Ta'ala has said, "Say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive your sins, and Allah is all forgiving, all merciful. In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah, fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum." Right, so if we love Allah, obviously we're going to love the Prophet and follow him. And part of following him and emulating him and adopting his mannerisms, his sunnat, part of it is, adopting his name, the names of the Imams who are an extension of his being, of his existence, and naming our children after them. This has a barakat or a blessing and a benefit in the life of the child, right? And you know, it has effect on the child, and you know, and conversely, have you know, naming a child, naming a person with a name, an unbecoming name, or meaningless, that doesn't have to be ugly, but a meaningless name could have a bad effect on him. Because of this, we see that in some traditions, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he encountered a person with an unbecoming name or a meaningless name or a bad name, he would change the name of the person to a good name. In a tradition, we have, it has been related that Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to change ugly names of people and placed good names upon them. Right? You know, something personal here, like a lot of my friends, you know, when they entered the Islamic seminary, prior to their entrance into the Islamic seminary, you know, for a time period in their lives, they were non-Muslims, and they had non-Muslim names. And when they became Muslims, you know, for legal reasons or for whatever reasons that might be, they decided to keep their non-Muslim names, and they just stuck with them, and they would always refer to themselves with non-Muslim names. So a lot of these people, when they came in and entered the Islamic seminary, a lot of them, you know, would go and meet the famous Islamic scholar Ayatollah Bajet, who is also known for his great spirituality. And Aga Bajet would ask these young men what their names were, and would respond with non-Islamic names. Aga Bajet would say, no, you should change your name, and he would give them an Islamic name and say that this is better for you. It's a very common practice that he used to do. We've seen in his life and in his dealings with seminary students, foreign seminary students, non-Iranian seminary students. Thank you for joining us here on the Hadith of the Day program. We were looking at choosing good names for one's children in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really thankful to Allah Almighty that has given us again the chance to be with you and some other Quranic sessions. And I'm really thankful to you. I have to give you a big thanks that you're again with us, and really, really thankful to you. And also, I really have to give a big thanks to the students of Sevier International School that they have come with us and they have joined our lessons. Inshallah, since it is the first session of our level 3 of Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, I mean the Tajweed. So we really need to get introduced to the students here, okay? So I will ask, inshallah, each of them one by one, they will introduce themselves. So, Brother Ali Nasir, Salaamu Alaikum.
Salaamu Alaikum.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Good. Okay, fine. Can you say your name, like yeah. where are you from?
Yeah, my name is Sayed Ali Nasser Naqavi. I'm from Pakistan.
That's great. You live in Qom right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we are here. We are
okay, and what
here.
Grade you are in?
I'm grade 8 from Sevier International School.
Oh, okay, thank you so much. Thank you You're so welcome. Much. So, Hussein Rohullah, right?
Yes. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Sayed Hussein Rohullah Rizvi. I am from Pakistan, and we are living in Qom and studying in Sevier International School.
You're grade 8 too, right?
Yes.
That's great. Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much. So, Brother Hussein Musa, right?
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Okay. So, okay. Alhamdulillah, you're Hussein Musa.
Yes.
Okay, good. What if you were someone else?
Not alhamdulillah.
Okay. Not alhamdulillah. Yes. So, it means you are so good in your life, alhamdulillah. You're pleased, satisfied.
Alhamdulillah.
So, Hussein Musa from?
From Iraq.
Iraq. Okay, you live in Qom right now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, you're grade?
6.
Grade 6 of Sevier?
International School.
That's great, that's great. Thank you so much. So, and Fawad Haider, right?
Yes.
Okay. So,
I'm 12 name? Years old. Sayed Fawad Haider Naqavi. I'm 12 years old from Pakistan, and I study okay. here in Sevier School, and I live in Qom right now.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much. So, I really welcome you all, and thanks for joining the Quranic session, our Muslim brothers and sisters, our audiences, okay? They really thank you for being in this Quranic sessions and helping them learn the Quran, okay? So, alhamdulillah. And one big thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International School. So, let's recite a salawat, inshallah, and start our lessons.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
So, respected brothers and sisters, as you have been with us, alhamdulillah, we finished the level 1 and level 2 of our Quranic sessions. In our level 1 and level 2, we learned how to read the Quran. Actually, the basics. Like whenever someone wants to recite, like a reciter, okay? And wants to have a recitation, a beautiful one. First, he needs to learn how to read the Quran. Look at the Quran and how to read it, okay? So this is very important. Alhamdulillah, we did them. We learned all the rules, all the, like, the topics related to how to read, how to be fluent. So I said this because if someone wants to study tajweed, if he wants to learn tajweed, because tajweed is one of the most important like knowledges in the Quranic Kareem. So if someone wants to learn tajweed, he first has to learn the basics. Okay? As you know that if someone wants to learn how to speak a language, so first he has to learn the Arabic alphabet letters, okay? If he wants to, as you know that if someone wants to speak a language, so he has to first learn the alphabet letters, okay? So alhamdulillah, we did them, we learned the Arabic alphabet letters, we learned the rules, how to read them in the words, right? And now it's time to go to the next step, which is actually very, very important. So, inshallah, in the tajweed class, we're having different topics, which are very important, okay? So, inshallah, in the tajweed class as well, we will have some very important topics, okay?
Okay.
So, in this Quranic sessions, as I said, the prerequisites, I mean, the important things, the necessary. If someone wants to study tajweed, he should know the basics. He should know the fluency. He should know the reading of the Quran.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So I'm saying to our Muslim brothers and sisters that if you like tajweed, if you want to recite the Quran Karim with tajweed, and still, and yet you have not like applied for reading and fluency classes. So first of all, you have to go and do them, then for the tajweed apply. Okay.
Okay. This is very important. Yes. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What is tajweed?
Okay, we are going to talk about it, inshallah. Yes. So, thank you so much for the question that has given like a preview, a mindset to our brothers, okay? Inshallah, we'll talk about it. So, in tajweed, first topic is about the tajweed itself. What is the tajweed? So, what does it do with the Quran Kareem? What is the need to learn the tajweed? Or, I mean, what is the benefit? Okay, what is the fruit of the tajweed? If someone learns it, what happens? Okay, what is the advantages? And if someone does not learn tajweed, what are the disadvantages? Okay,
right.
So this is the first topic. The second topic, the second subject is learn what things are being discussed in the tajweed. This is important. So inshallah, the things which are discussed in the tajweed, I mean the topics that we have, the first topic is about the letters, the Arabic alphabet letters. You know that the pronunciations of the letters, okay, the sounds that they make, they produce, okay, they are different from any other language.
Yes.
Yes.
So in English, you don't have special like types of pronunciations for the letters. It's S, C, B, A, that's easy.
Yes. Yeah.
But in Arabic, okay, it's not that. But in Arabic, that's not the case, okay, with Arabic. In Farsi as well, in Persian as well, like you say, for example, Sin, Fa, Sad, they are the same in Persian, okay? They are pronounced as S.
Yes. Yeah.
But in Arabic, it's different. So it is very important. As we studied that in level 1 and level 2, okay, we practiced that. So the first important topic that we will be discussing is the pronunciation, I mean the articulation points of the letters. So, how should I pronounce the letter tha? Okay? So, which part of my tongue is like struggling to produce the sound, okay? Which part of my mouth, the lips, the teeth, okay? The throat.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, yeah.
So I don't use my hands, okay, to produce the sounds, okay? I use my throat, okay, the vocal sounds,
yes.
My tongue, my lips, my mouth, okay? So these are very important. So each letter in Arabic has a special articulation point, okay? So that's important. That's the most important and the first topic that we have to be discussing. The second important topic, inshallah, that we will cover is about the characteristics and the attributes of the letters. You know that it's like, for example, the letter R in English, it is pronounced like differently from the other letters. You say S, C, A, B, D, F, G, H. They are like normal, okay? But when it comes to R, you just need to produce an A sound. R.
Yeah.
You don't have to say R.
Yeah,
that's wrong, yes?
Yes.
So this is a special attribute or characteristic for the letter R. And also L. L. You don't say L.
Yes.
L.
Yeah.
I mean, the native speakers do not say L. Maybe some other speakers, yes. Okay? They are non-native. I mean, they are not native speakers, so they will say. So, the second topic is... the third topic, actually. The first topic was about the tajweed itself. The second topic is about the pronunciation or articulation points of the letters. The third topic is about the different rules of the letters. So in Arabic, okay, sometimes, for example, the letter lam it is, so the letter lam will be changed to some other letters. Sometimes, for example, it's the letter noon, but the letter noon will be changed to any other letter. For example, we have min, indillah, for example. We say min indillah. Look, noon changes to another sound.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or for example, we have like ahaday. Look, ahadan it is. Okay, it has produces a noon sound, but it changes to another sound. Ahaday. The noon changes to ye. So these are very important, okay? Sometimes, for example, the letter noon will be changed to the letter meme. Okay? Sometimes you need to prolong the sounds of some letters. You need to, for example, produce some different types of sounds. The nasal sounds, vocal sounds, they are important. Okay? So the second topic, the third important topic will be about the fourth, yes?
Fourth.
So the fourth important topic will be about the rules, the different rules, okay, that we must apply on the Arabic alphabet letters, yes. Okay? In the words, when they are used in the words. This is very important. Then, inshallah, the next important topic, the fifth one that we will be talking about is it's again about the words in the Quran al-Karim, okay? The mad, you might have heard it,
yeah.
Mad, okay?
Yeah.
The stretching sound, the long sounds, okay? The long vowel sounds. Like, for example, sometimes it is, for example, ja'a. You gotta stretch the sound.
Ja'a.
Yes. It is, for example, ula'ika. You have to stretch the sound. Ula'ika. Yeah?
Yes.
So these are very important topics. Inshallah, okay? Now, when I said these are the important topics, okay? So they have some subtopics as well. Each of them has some subtopics, okay? Like, for example, the attributes of the letters, okay? The second topic. The third topic, the attributes of the letters, the characteristics, okay? So we have, for example, the attribute of isti'la, the attribute of istifal, the attribute of, for example, tarqiq, tafkhim. So different types of attributes we have, different types of topics. So then, for example, in mad as well, we have different types of mad. Mad the wajib, mad the lazim, okay? Mandatory, like obligatory one, like recommended one, like different types of mad we have, like the changing mad, okay? A lot of different types of mads we have. So inshallah, we'll talk about them, each of them in details, okay? And you will learn them. Now, let's answer this question, okay? That why should we learn Tajweed? Then we'll go and start with the first topic, which is the introduction to Tajweed itself.
Yes.
So now, alhamdulillah, you have a preview of what we are going to talk about in this level 3 of the Quran Karim. So inshallah, we will take a break and we will come back. But we really give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. So we will recite a salawat, inshallah, and we will be back. Stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك فلك الحجة علي في جميع ذلك ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاءك وألزمني حكمك وبلاءك.
Brothers and sisters, we discussed the part where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي. My Allah, my protector, I have myself given a decree against me. I followed the caprice of my own soul. ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي. I did not defend myself from my enemy. فغرني بما أهوى. It deluded me through my soul's caprice. وأسعده على ذلك القضاء. And therein, destiny favored it. فَتَجَاوَزْتُ بِمَا جَرَى عَلَيَّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بَعْضَ حُدُودِكَ. That is why I crossed some of the barriers. I transgressed some of your limits. وَخَالَفْتُ بَعْضَ أَوَامِرِكَ. And disobeyed some of your commands. This part was completely talking about jihad akbar, or the greater jihad, the greater war. That is why the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْهِ. The highest holy war is the war against one's own soul. Or he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam also says to Imam Ali alayhi salam, يَا عَلِي أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ مَنْ أَصْبَحَ لَا يَهِمُّ بِظُلْمِ أَحَدٍ. O Ali, the best holy war is that of someone who never has the intention to oppress anyone else. So in this part, in conclusion, Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about the definitive result of following the caprice of the soul, and that is being prevented from the remembrance of Allah, being prevented from one's own duties, and being away from the Almighty Allah. That is why Imam Ali alayhi salam, in the next part of this divine Kumail supplication, says, فَلَكَ الْحُجَّةُ عَلَيَّ فِي جَمِيعِ ذَلِكَ. So yours is the argument against me in all that. وَلَا حُجَّةَ لِي فِيمَا جَرَى عَلَيَّ فِيهِ قَضَاءُكَ. And I have no argument. I have no argument in what your destiny put into effect through me therein. وَأَلْزَمَنِي حُكْمُكَ وَبَلَاءُكَ. Nor in what your decree and your tribulation imposed upon me. Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying that a human has no argument for getting misled. He has got no excuse for committing sins in this world and the hereafter to claim innocence before Allah. If he claims and says, I did not have the ability to choose right from wrong, he has certainly uttered a lie, because he has had the great blessing of a healthy body which enabled him to choose right. If he says, I was unaware of Allah's orders, so I could not fulfill my duties, the arguments of free time for studying Quran, religious books, the opportunity to refer to scholars, to well-known people, and the chance to gain knowledge, they all could be raised against him. If he claims and says, I was void of intelligence, he has certainly lied, because if he did not have intelligence, how could he realize, how could he organize his monetary and economic affairs? How could he realize that this is for his own material world? And how he, Bashir, and how he did he choose material wealth over hereafter? So he certainly could have thought, the problem is that he prioritized his own benefits over hereafter. If he says, if a prophet was sent from Allah along with the imams of guidance, I would have certainly followed the signs of truth and guidance. He certainly would be told that 124,000 prophets were sent. Also, 12 imams were sent to guide the misled. And how did you go to the extreme for your economic issues, but not for your spiritual issues? That's why Imam Ali alayhi salam says, فَلَكَ الْحُجَّةُ عَلَيَّ فِي جَمِيعِ ذَلِكَ. Yours is the argument against me in all that.
My God, my Master, you decreed a law for me, but instead I obeyed my own low desires. And I did not guard myself against the allurements of my enemy. He deceived me with vain hopes, whereby I was led astray, and fate helped him in that respect. So I transgressed some of the limits set for me by you, and I disobeyed some of your commandments. You therefore have a just case against me in all those matters, and I have no plea against your judgment which you passed against me. I have therefore become liable to your judgment and afflictions.
Thank you, Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So Imam Ali alayhi salam says that Allah has many arguments against humans to condemn them, but a man has no argument against Allah to acquit himself, to escape the chastisement of hereafter. Whatever he claims, it will be answered to him. If he says, there was no guiding scholar, book, or mosque, he would be told, you're not telling the truth, because the voice of the guidance of Allah was heard from everywhere. But your pride and ignorance, your desirousness prevented you from following the guided route and Allah's religion. And this is the importance of prioritizing the duties of human beings, specifically the ones pretty well described by the religion over the material issues. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, لَا حُجَّةَ لِي فِي مَا جَرَى عَلَيَّ فِيهِ قَضَاءُكَ وَأَلْزَمَنِي حُكْمُكَ وَبَلَاءُكَ. I have no argument in what your destiny put into effect through me therein, nor in what your degree and your tribulation imposed upon me. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Allah, yeah, Allah. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Gate of Knowledge, exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of the Charter of Islamic Governance based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are also focusing on the third sermon, where Imam Ali alayhi salam explains his wisdom behind taking over the governance after the third caliph. And while he explains this, he also talks about this group of people that unfortunately went against him and took up arms against him because of their ignorance and their lack of insight, which was the group called the Khawarij or the Mariqeen, where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَمَرَقَتْ طَائِفَةٌ, and he compares them to a donkey that is tied, whose eyes have been tied by a cloth, and who is connected to the pivot of the